It's time for Message in the Bottle, presented by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello, sir.
What's up with Barracudas Interruptus? Not right.
It felt good. It felt like the right thing.
Nancy Wilson is going to come for your soul, my man. That's okay. That's a you problem. Not your problem.
I sure hope so. I would like that.
Oh, right. I'm a young man, but I get it. listen, I hope everybody is well out there in Radio Land. I am particularly well. We're sort of at the tail end of our vacation. It's a staycation, but we all kind of go out to the lake and pretend that we don't live half an hour away, which was good for everybody else. But for Dad, it meant coming in from the lake every day to make sure that the cats hadn't killed each other and so forth. And also, I have this new 19-year-old hovering around the house now. It's all very crazy.
You have a new 19-year-old? How did that happen?
Yeah, so he's my cousin, technically. This is one of those very Shakespearean things, like where, you know, you've got cousins. He feels like my nephew, like he's 19, you know, and I'm the old buddy-duddy. But yeah, he's come up to go to NESCOM.
Oh.
And, yeah, and he always wanted to do, like, I hardly knew this about the boy, but he's from deep Georgia, where I was down there helping his mom out through some sickness. And it came out that he had always wanted to do film and music production, and Christine's like, well, golly, I happen to work at a university that houses one of the finest film and music production colleges on the Northeast, if not the entire United States. Why don't you come on up? And so he has come up and moved in, and that's been really kind of crazy, inheriting an older, you know, quasi charge, is the word. But he's a good kid. Really.
Going to give you a preview of what it's going to be like to have more of those older teens in the house before too long.
That's actually okay. Like, it's remarkable. Like, first of all, he has his own vehicle. He's taken my children places already. I'm like, this is cool.
Mm.
If this is what it's like, it's like, good. Go do these things. You go. I'm going to stay here and chill. So, there might be something to it. I don't know. We'll find out. But,
By the way, I also saw, too, that you, because I saw your picture, that you made it up for the Umbrellas in the Sky installation last night.
It's funny you say that, because I don't often go out and do things, but I sort of told myself, self, you are the president of the board of this organization that did all this, and you really should kind of show up. And then, yeah, lo and behold, I got my picture taken with people and talked to people, and it turned into just a really wonderful, wonderful evening. I did, however, make a joke at one point to one of my dear friends, Inka Chandra, who is on the school committee, etc. And I said, if someone were to just drop a bomb on the street, the Republicans would win the next 20 years of elections. Because I'm pretty sure the entire main Democratic committee was there. I mean, just in force. But, you know, it goes to show who's there.
Yeah.
And I met the wonderful folks from Northern Light that sponsored that. So, yeah, folks, if you're in the mood to go down and see a delight, go on down to Cross Street in Bangor. It's the Umbrella Sky Project. It originally started in Portugal, actually. And it is, I have actually spotted it in person in several very, very cool cities. In this hemisphere, but I believe it's actually in cities in both hemispheres at this point. That is, it's a tremendous project. Please read up more on it, because it has got sort of socio-political ramifications as well, which I think are really beautiful. So check that out. But also just go down and get yourself photographed there. It's really cool. It's one of those things you just like. You know, in and amongst all the sad stories, it's just one of those delightful, I don't know, it certainly made me smile, so I was happy to be down there.
Yeah, it was great.
And I believe it's a 3-year project, so you have time. So, what should we talk about? Oh, yes, wine. So, as I threatened last week, we're going to start into Italy this week. And as we kind of, I've sort of been doing it a little differently. And so I was talking about Slovenia and other places east of that last week. So I figure we'll enter Italy this year from the eastern part, which is to say that the river that winds between Slovenia and the Veneto. So let's start talking about the Veneto. Everybody knows Prosecco. Prosecco is easily the fastest growing wine segment in the U.S. Why? Because it's fun, it's bubbly, it can mix well with things, and mixing in general is a huge part of the culture. And also, it's still fairly inexpensive. But let's talk about Prosecco for a second. So forever, Prosecco, which, by the way, is made out of a grape called Glera, which has also recently been redubbed into Prosecco, which kind of irritates me because it feels like a nod to the U.S. market, which doesn't need to be done. But anyway, it's sort of located in and around where Venice is, primarily, obviously more inland because there's not a lot of vines in Venice, for anybody who's been there, for obvious reasons. And it has achieved a certain level of official status. So there are important places where they do Prosecco and less important places where they do Prosecco. And this is appropriate because, of course, terroir. So when you're buying Prosecco these days, you may notice that some of them are more expensive. The ones that specifically say Valdobbiadene, this is the sort of heartland of Prosecco. There are other places that make it quite well as well. But just be aware that now more than ever, the swath of Prosecco that you can get ranges anywhere from the very kind of meh to really exquisite, beautiful stuff being made by artisans and everything in between. So do be prepared for that when you're out shopping for that. Moving on from there, by the way, Venice also has some other interesting things that are being, the Veneto, I should say, not Venice itself, of course, has some other interesting grapes that are sort of being grown as adjuncts to where we're going next, which is to say Trentino and Alto Adige. So this is the sort of real heartland of your Pinot Grigio. Also, for folks who like Pinot Noir, they call it Pinot Nero there, and also a wonderful grape called Tiraldigo, which means the king of the Tyrol Mountains, which is the sort of the foothills of the Alps. But this is really the heartland of your Pinot Grigio, and a lot of people, think of Pinot Grigio as sort of a throwaway, and a lot of it is, fair enough. But a lot of it is really very, very good. And some of it is grown on a little more flat lands, small hills. And then, as I said, you do get into these foothills of the Alps where it's extraordinarily steep slopes, more minerally, as I say, sort of terroir-driven Pinot Grigios that come from here. Some of the finest white I've ever had in my life is Pinot Grigio from this area, especially now. It's interesting. I didn't realize it at the time, but I really fell in love with this Pinot Grigio that had skin contact, so that when you poured it, it looked a little orange, yeah? And actually, I once had a customer, this is a cautionary tale of the wine trade, say, what is your favorite Pinot Grigio? And I sold them my favorite Pinot Grigio, and they brought it back and it was bad because it came out orange. And I tried to explain, like, no, they just let it sit with the lees and the skins and take on the hue, and it takes on this really beautiful, voluptuous quality. So Pinot Grigio can go anywhere from exactly what I'm describing to the trite throwaway nonsense. And just in the last second I have, again, I'm sort of trying to zoom through all this because I've sort of been lackadaisical. And is what I wanted to talk about is Lake Garda. So if you go south from Trento and Trentino, you're sort of in central northern Italy now. So we've sort of gone from Venice inland, almost straight. We're now about 150, 200 kilometers from Venice. And there's this gigantic inland lake called Lake Garda. And this on the southern end, specifically the southeastern end, is wonderful wine climate because you have the cold winds coming down from the Alps, moderated by this gigantic lake, and it just produces unbelievable wines. So now we're talking about the area around Verona, right? So Amarone, the great red wine, Valpolicella, which is the little red wine that is made in the same area, some marvelous whites. So this is sort of your very, very fast overview of northeastern Italy. And next week I will get into Piedmont and everything there, and then we'll go south along the boot. In the meantime, everybody take care, and I hope you're enjoying the trade deadline fiesta.
Absolutely.
I'm a Phillies fan. We got Lorenzen, so I mean that's cool.
There you go. Well, enjoy enjoy that lake time while you can.
I will. And all you enjoy summer while you can, including you, sir. I heard you were talking about your impending school year, and that is just terrifying for all of us.
We got time. It's months to go. Thank you, Eric. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, sir. Bye-bye.
Eric Main, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every week here on Downtown.